Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love it. The Lord has a lot to say to us, His people. He wants us to know Him, and He wants to be known among His people. And I love the Lord our God and King, and I know He loves us all. He loves all people, not just our friends and family. He loves all those that have, He loves our enemies, people that did us wrong, people that wouldn't promote us, people that didn't believe in us, people that slander your character. He loves them. So when the Lord taught me to love His people, I learned to do something. And just like when people train for karate, they block and counter as a reflex. Well, I learned it's wise to forgive just as fast as somebody that would block and counter in karate, like a reflex. People need our love. This is not something that we can afford to be emotional about. People need our genuine love. And the Lord has so much to say. When I saw people falling into hell, I focused on two people in front of me. A boy, 15 years old, and a lady in her early 20s. And then in my peripheral, behind them and all around, from side to side, I saw people falling in like rain. And I saw the people were still falling. I was in the air looking down. I looked down, I could see the lake of fire. And what I saw was, it was brief, but it was real. In that moment, I saw people falling like raindrops, not like a dense rain, but like when it first began to rain in the springtime, a light rain, but you could see the drops scattered about. That's what it reminded me of. Sad, very sad. See, people, when they stir you emotionally to anger, or they're frustrated, or people go through so much, and a lot of times people are reacting to something else. When they have, if they're having a bad day, bad week, bad marriage, bad whatever, their temperament may not be there. They may have lack of temperament, and they may be, say something cross, or the enemy is also trying to make people feel like nobody likes you, and people have all kind of opinions. But I found out most people want the love of God, and He helps me to, instead of getting angry, I only heard one other guy say this. He said, "I like it when people get upset with me and bawl me out or whatever, or be rude, because the Holy Spirit is going to give me something kind to say." That's what he was saying. He said, the Holy Spirit's going to give me the way to handle it, and that will help people. He loved to win souls. This brother loved to win. He and his wife, they loved to win souls. And he was the only other person I know of. That other people may have said it too, but I'm talking about the people that I know. And he actually likes when people are cross his path, and they may not be in the best moods, you know, because it'll open the door for him to love them, get their attention, and minister life. He loves to minister life to people. I do too. And when you master not taking things personally, it really gets attention. This is why people are very important to God. Every soul, every one of us. And I thank God for that. Now, today is the last day of 2021. This happens to be December the 31st, Friday night. You may hear some fireworks going off in the background from time to time. I just heard them before I began, but they've quieted down now. And I'm sure they're going to start shooting at around 12 o'clock, like they always do. But that's the dangerous thing to do, because the bullets got to come back down. And they ruin people's property. So I don't do that. I don't go out there and shoot my guns in the air. You know, I don't want to, You know, a friend of mine found a bullet stuck in his roof. Sometimes people find bullets stuck in their car. Windows are broken. Those bullets got to come down. So, you know, if you like to shoot, find a better way. Shoot into an embankment. Shoot in the ground or something. But you got to know where your water lines are. Anyway, nevertheless, God loves his people. And I thank God for such a wonderful year. The Lord has blessed me this year. And this weekend, I'll be working on audio page 7. And so, I thank God that we still here to enjoy the grace of God. Now, the Lord has also told me his return is imminent. Now, imminent means imminent. You know, it wouldn't really surprise me if the Lord came tonight and I never get to see 2022. But whenever he come, I want to be ready and on board with all of his plan. God has good things for us. A lot of people say, well, he's not coming. This has to happen. That has to happen. The temple hadn't been built yet. Now, you can't go by that. Ron Wyatt did a video once. He pointed out that the third temple in Ezekiel was conditional, and Israel never met the conditions. And you know, the false prophet's going to come out of a temple. It's probably going to be the Vatican. And see, people say, well, no, it's got to be Jerusalem. Just watch. However it happened, it's going to happen. I don't like to be dogmatic about things that I'm not sure about. The Lord, he's after something much greater than that. And he's going to get it because he knows what he's doing. He told me what he was doing. He's after sincerity. He fixed everything when people can't figure it. Remember something. There were two people the Lord told to seal the vision. First one was Daniel. No, well, pertaining to end times, Daniel and John. But Isaiah also said, seal the vision among my disciples. He was talking about Jesus. But when it comes to Revelation and the end times, Daniel knew what was shown to him because he went before the Lord and the Lord showed it to him. But then the Lord had to tell him to seal it so that people can't figure it out. Until it's time for it to happen. And the only people that see the Lord, Charles Capps once taught that this is the prophecy is sealed and it's time released. When it's time for people to know it and get ready for it and partake of it, then it will begin, the Holy Spirit will cause it to be released, the knowledge of what was sealed to be released. And I thank God, the only thing I got, well, the main thing I got was this. He's after sincerity. And he told me a few details, but the main thing, he's after sincerity. And then people say, well, the rapture is going to happen so before the Antichrist comes. Well, the Lord said, I'm not moving you out of his way. I'm moving you out of my way. He's moving his church, his people who follow him out of his way. See, the last part, the last judgment, the vile judgments, when God starts tearing up stuff, that's when he moves us out of his way. But it's our job to keep the Antichrist at bay. The word says, he that now letteth will let. Now, that's his people. And it don't take a lot of people to hold back the Antichrist. It takes your faith. And the Lord will help his people. But if the church go grow cold and lukewarm, well, guess what? He's going to appear and you got to deal with that. And but being dogmatic and saying, well, this has to happen. No, you can't go by that. It's going to happen. And it's there's a part we play and there's a part God will play. But remember something. All the prophecies always, the judgment prophecies that went forth against Moab, against Egypt, all these things was after they had already taken aside to do wrong. And then the prophet would come and judge them. You know, but remember what the Proverbs say, that the curse causeless will not come. So when people, if you believe God and take him at his word, you excuse yourself out of the wrath of God. And if you take authority over the enemy and you serve the Lord, you can keep the enemy at bay and live a peaceable life. If you take the people who pray for the leaders, that they have no war and live a peace, that's why the Lord put that there. But people who don't, they just talk about the government and talk about the president and talk about the governors and talk about people and never pray for them and never ask the Lord to guide them in their office, then anything might go down because the enemy is desperately trying to mess things up. Daniel put it this way. He said, the wicked will do wickedly and they will not understand. So guess what that means? That means that the wicked are guaranteed to be wicked and they don't know how to stop it. They don't know. They don't understand what they're doing. People are trying to destroy Jesus and he's their only savior. Now that's some terrible deception and persuasion of the enemy for people to want their own savior dead. Then to make it even worse, after Jesus came and he died, the high priest and all the Pharisees and Sanhedrin council, they didn't like him. They said the priest of all people didn't like him, and scribes, they didn't like him either. And the people were worse than they were. Because when Herod tried to deliver him and Jesus into the hand of the people, thinking that since he worked miracles, hey, maybe they'll let him go. The people wanted him dead. So proud people can't see. They will do wickedly and they can't understand. And think about what Jesus' response was to this in Luke chapter 13. The Lord loves us. Now look at what he said. Verse 34. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doeth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. This is a time where people have, a lot of things are wrong. And I don't like, the Lord has to have a response for everything that people do the wrong way. Jesus said that many have given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And the same thing applies. When they give heed, then they kill people's character. Jesus said that the way of truth will be evil spoken of. Paul taught Timothy that. But guess what? A lot of Christian people talk evil of Christian people. Most of the time, the speech against Christian people are Christian people. And the same thing applies. And even though other religions don't like us, that's understood. The Jews, we're their greatest ally, and they don't like us either. They still waiting on Messiah to come. But guess what? The Messiah is coming. The one that's coming now is a false prophet, a false Christ. Jesus said, you wouldn't listen to me, but there's one coming that you will listen to. He was talking about the Antichrist. And Satan's been trying to find another Nimrod since the old Nimrod got killed. And in the book of Jasher, it exposes the fact that Esau killed Nimrod. How about that? That's why he was so tired when he went home and he sold his birthright to eat soup. He was tired. He just got through killing Nimrod. Now that's in the book of Jasher. Very interesting. But anyway, and I believe it's true because when I studied the book of Jasher, I couldn't find anything that was amiss. It always fit together with the information that was given in the in Genesis and other books in Exodus. It was a consistency, but it gives more of it, And the book and Jewish people, they are a race of people that documented things carefully, and so And then there are Old Testament books that refer to the book of Jasper, the book of Jasher, as if it's credible. So I believe every word of it, too. The Lord had a lot to say. There were many prophets, and a lot of their writings are not in the book, but in our Bible canon. But it's whatever God said to his people, those are living words. Now, God loves his people. He wants the best for all of us. He wants people to see him. It saddens the Lord when people decide to go to hell. Then they cry and they wish they didn't listen to the enemy. They wish they weren't proud, but they can't come back and warn their friends. So the Lord have allowed people to see hell, and I was one of them. And then he had people that spent time there. There's two ladies, Mary Kay Baxter and the other one, I got a book by her. Her name will come back to me in a minute. But these are modern women that went to hell. Then there's Bill Weiss. And the modern church, they don't want to talk about that. Now, that doesn't make people, that's not the way to win friends and influence people. So the modern church, they dance around hell. Well, guess what? When you don't teach the word like it should be taught, it's inevitable that people get, if anything changes your focus, it changes you with it. And they're not warning God's people. And then they want God to send a revival, and they're half teaching the word. They're not warning people against the misery of hell. And they're not teaching people about about authority. And what I've noticed is that they teach people things without responsibility. See, my pastor said this: there's a Godward side and there's a manward side. Okay? When you tell people they got to do something, well, the people that want God at their terms, they're just like the people who went after the fish and the loaves. They didn't care about the doctrine of Jesus. They just wanted to see the miracles, eat the bread and eat the fish. Then they wanted to make a king out of it on their terms. People are still that way. I hate it. But that's how people, they don't want to know God for real. They want to know God's going to bless them. They want to know they're going to heaven. But I get to do what I want to do. And if the preacher don't make me mad, I'll put tithes in the basket. That's bad. That's not. So people are controlling what's being taught. Now, Isaiah ran into this problem as well. And modern day, if you think it was bad in Isaiah's day, it's much worse now. And now I can tell you a lot of things that I've heard and witnessed with my own eyes. And I've heard other pastors talk about how people try to get them to preach what they want. And it's bad. But remember, the Lord would have gathered them together as a hen does her brood. But they wouldn't listen to him. They didn't want to listen. In Isaiah 30, it says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel together, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." Now, this is a time when the king of Assyria was coming, and they wanted to go back to Egypt for protection. Look what he said. Now, he warned them good. Verse 2 says, "They walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." They didn't ask God anything. It just said they didn't ask in his mouth. He said, "Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust of the shadow and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. And they were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be of a help, nor be an help, nor profit, but a shame, and also a reproach, the burden of the beasts of the south, into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and the fire-flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. And I go write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for a time to come, forever and ever. Now watch this. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, that will not hear the law of the Lord. Now watch this part, verse 10. Which say to the seers, the only people that can get you out of trouble and give you real good information. They say to the seers, now remember, they used to call prophets seers because they would have, they operated in the word of knowledge, and they'll see a detailed vision. Which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Then they said this. Now this just take the cake. Prophesy deceits. Can't you just prophesy deceits? Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. This is the wicked heart that would do something like this. The Lord told me about 2 weeks ago that I thought about, I said, preachers are preaching things. They're not teaching people responsibility. They're preaching a good luck message, basically. They show how God is for you and not against you. And he's going to bless you. It's always in the future. No. If God is blessing, he's going to bless you today. And you're going to do your part. Now see, when you read what the apostles wrote, Peter put it this way. He said, add to your faith virtue, the virtue knowledge. Those are things that you perform. Not rituals. These are things that you do as a way of life. To knowledge, temperance. Temperance, brotherly kindness. He went all the way down the list. Then he said this, if you do these things, you will never fall. Then he also said, but they that do not, you know, let's look at it. I mean... It's better than some sorry, smooth gospel that can't help you. You know, it's pitiful. It's just pitiful to think that you're going to be blessed without responsibility. It doesn't even make sense. It's like, go get a paycheck even though you didn't work. Wait a minute, salvation is free. Yeah, it is free. To you, Jesus paid for it. We have a responsibility to, this is how we do something with the life that God has given to us. Verse 2 in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be the partakers of the divine nature. Now, this is something you're going to, he gave you his nature and you're going to use it. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And watch this. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. See, when you believe on Jesus, you have faith. Add to it. Study the word. Receive his word. See, I asked the Lord, Lord, what's this word, virtue? It appeared when the lady touched the hem of his garment. I said, what is this? Give me your definition. I looked it up in the Hebrew dictionary, Greek dictionary, Webster dictionary. And I wasn't satisfied. I said, this is more than that. I said, what is the Holy Spirit? I said, Lord, what is your definition of this word virtue? He said, it's the amount of my word in your heart. That's how he answered me. It's the amount of my word in your heart. It's the amount of my word in you. That you did receive. So add to your faith virtue. Now most people are going to go with the dictionary means. But I want to, since I said that, I want to share this. People don't go around talking about godly things like they would have if Adam didn't fall. See, when at the fall, a lot of things was lost. A lot of relationship words was lost. A lot of knowledge was lost because people don't talk about heavenly things anymore like they would have if Adam didn't fall. So, in our language, to get the point over, the closest word was virtue. But it meant more than quality living or good living or power. I said, this is more than that. This is the closest word that they translated, virtue. I said, so the Holy Ghost definition, and the Holy Spirit will give you greater definitions than any dictionary. And it's true. And that diction, you know, I understand what they did. They took a word like this. They probably had to research and find it. But it's the amount of his word in your heart. So add to your faith virtue. Put more of God's word in your heart. And to virtue, knowledge. Now that's very important, because if you learn something from the Lord, the enemy couldn't stop you from learning it, because you sought the Lord. You sought him and you knock. Ask, seek, and knock, Jesus said. We don't learn a lot at once. We learn over time more than we do all at once. That's why we have to have teachers, and we still learn at a rate. So Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Stick with the process of learning. He said, add to your faith virtue, the virtue knowledge. Sometimes when people break through and get knowledge from the Lord, then the enemy couldn't stop it. He said, I got to pervert it. So he tried to get them to get us some kind of pride. And then you'll seem like a master among other people. That's a deadly thing to have happen. That's why he said, add to your virtue. You may have word in your heart, but knowledge. Remember, the love of God, the way of God. Add to your faith virtue, the virtue knowledge. Now watch this. To knowledge, now you know some things. You've been in the presence of the Lord. You've been asking, seeking, knocking. You're learning at a steady rate, and it's good. Now add to that knowledge, add temperance. Don't be so fast to show off your knowledge for pride. Paul said, do nothing. Let us do nothing for vainglory. If God gave you knowledge, use it wisely. Help people understand his truth. Do it in love. And sometimes you have to relay the message in where you're not trying to put on a false air among people. You're sharing the knowledge that God graced you with, and you have grace yourself. So add to knowledge temperance. And to temperance, patience. Don't worry. You don't have to show everybody everything you know all at once. You want to be a blessing. Help people with what they can receive. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. See, look at the goal here. You're gaining something from the Lord, and you're delivering it with wisdom. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. Charity is action love. It's love in action. That's what charity is. It's the kind of love that does something. It's a verb. It's not the kind of love that I love you, but I ain't going to help you. I love you from a distance. Ooh, I hope nothing happens to you. But I'm not going to do anything about your situation. No. I love you, and I will do what it takes. To brotherly kindness, charity. This the God kind of love. Jesus went about doing good. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, when is the last time you heard somebody break it down like that on TV, on radio, and even on YouTube? What are they preaching and why? What is the motive? They don't share the responsibility here. But they say, God is going to bless. You know, he's going to honor your faith. Yeah, he will. He'll do all that. Can't wait to do it too. But what are you doing? Are you going to let Jesus just go around doing good and you call him your master and not go around doing good, not have his heart? Really? When the Lord loves you, you want to serve others. Now watch this part. Verse 9 said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and he and hath forgotten that is that he was purged from his old sins. Now that is terrible. He forgot the fact that he needed a Savior. Wherefore, verse 10, wherefore the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And you will never be barren and unfruitful in the things of God. If you do the things listed from verse 5 all the way to verse 7. Now watch this here. This is also important. Jesus said this himself. Revelation chapter 3. Talking about the Laodicean church. He said. Scroll it up. Okay. He said. Alright. I know thy works that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou said, now look at their evaluation, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Same thing that First Peter said. They evaluate themselves falsely. They can't see afar off. They're blind. They're naked. They don't have covenant anymore. Then he said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, righteousness, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. God is good, folks. Now I'm out of time.